And now we come back this evening to Jesus' discourse with his disciples in the upper room, John's Gospel, chapter 14. And we are giving our attention to this portion of Jesus' teaching because in Jesus' conversation with the disciples in the upper room, the Lord Jesus highlights the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so this evening we're going to read John 14, verses 15 through 31, but our text will be verses 25 and 26. We do want to have those verses in context, so we're going to back up, begin reading at verse 15. Listen, here's God's word. Jesus speaks, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we have just been singing, and so now we pray, "Send now your Spirit, Lord. Open my eyes that I may see." We pray that you would indeed, by the ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we might see, that we might understand, that we might be glad. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been focusing on the many remarkable, the astonishing reassurances that Jesus is giving to his disciples at a time when they have a sense of mounting apprehension at Jesus' departure from them. Jesus is plying them with assurances that they are going to be well provided for, even though he is not physically present with them. And we've seen some of those marvelous reassurances. Verse 18, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." And what heartwarming assurance there is in that. Jesus' followers then and now are not left as orphans. Jesus will come to his people. And then we saw how Jesus expands on that later on in verse 23 when he says, "I and the Father with me will come to the one who loves me and make our home with that person." Jesus assures his disciples that not just Jesus, but the Father himself will come to his people. people, will dwell with his people. And we saw how Jesus links his presence and the presence of the Father to the giving of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is the one by whom we have the benefits and blessings of fellowship with the Son and with the Father. It's the Holy Spirit whom Jesus has sent, the promised Holy Spirit poured out on the church, who applies to the people of God the benefits of our salvation, including all the benefits that flow from our adoption by the Father as a result of our union with the Lord Jesus. So those benefits of salvation come to us because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we consider a movement, as it were, from God to us that is brought about by the Holy Spirit, we learn elsewhere in Scripture that the reverse is true as well. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 18, that it is through the Lord Jesus we have access by one Spirit to the Father. So if the benefits of salvation come to us from Father and Son through the Holy Spirit, so also our fellowship with the Father and Son is a fellowship that is effectuated, that is brought about by the Holy Spirit himself. And of course, we have to marvel. We are dazzled at these marvelous truths relating to the Holy Trinity, truths that we can grasp, but very, very imperfectly. But we are reassured to recognize the persons of the Godhead working together to assure our salvation, to assure our protection, and to ensure our access to God as the blood-bought, redeemed ones whom the Lord Jesus has given his life for. Last Lord's Day evening, I quoted those marvelous words from a sermon back in the year 381 when Gregory of Nazianzus said, "No sooner do I conceive of the One than I am illumined by the splendor of the Three. When I contemplate the Three together, I see but one torch and cannot divide or measure out the undivided light." We cannot, as it were, separate or pull apart the persons of the Godhead. Oh yes, we distinguish between them, but we can't separate them. They work together to assure the salvation, the protection of the people of God. This is something to reassure our hearts and comfort our souls. And this evening, Jesus, as he carries us forward, he pinpoints another aspect of the Holy Spirit's work in verses 25 and 26. Verse 26, Jesus says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Be reassured. You may be able to cast your mind back, some of you, to a time when you took driver's ed. Maybe some of you are at that point right now. And you go out and you gain familiarity with the controls, and you gain familiarity with the road and the rules of the road. But always there is someone with you, right beside you, an experienced driver, an instructor, someone who is familiar with the territory, someone who's able to guide, to direct, even to intervene, perhaps. But as you go through driver's ed, you may have just a sense of a little apprehension that the time is coming when, yes, you'll celebrate having that piece of plastic, that driver's license, but you're going to be out there by yourself. You're going to be perhaps in unfamiliar streets or roads. What will happen? The Lord Jesus' disciples are anticipating some difficult driving up ahead, some hazardous conditions, some uncertain roads. But Jesus assures them that the Holy Spirit is going to be present with them, continuing Jesus' work and seeing to it that the disciples are well instructed. Matthew Henry says that the Holy Spirit is going to be the standing tutor of the people of God. He's going to be a live-in teacher who's going to live with the people of God. in order to ensure that the followers of Jesus are well educated and well equipped for life in a world that's fraught with uncertainties, that's filled with all kinds of difficulties, tragedies, dangers, setbacks, and all kinds of perplexing circumstances. So let's think about that from our verses this evening. Let's think about the speech that Jesus alludes to. We'll think about the teacher that Jesus identifies for us, and then we'll think about the disciple. So three easy to grasp, I hope, ways of getting a handle on something that's very wonderful and that goes really beyond our ability fully to comprehend. And so Jesus calls our attention to the speech that has taken place. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, says Jesus to his disciples. Jesus' words are important words. Jesus' words are not words that fall to the ground. They're words that need to be received. They're words that need to be treasured. And yes, to be sure, Jesus has spoken things to the disciples during the time that he's with them. Now, Jesus did much more than just speak to the disciples. The disciples witnessed some of the things that Jesus did, but the Holy Spirit is going to remind the disciples of what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is going to highlight for the disciples what Jesus said, what Jesus taught, the instruction that Jesus gave. And it's important for us to recognize that. There's some who would emphasize the Lord Jesus' deeds as mighty deeds, and indeed they are. There's some who would highlight the Lord Jesus' miracles, as indeed they should be highlighted. There are those who would point to the Savior's example, and indeed in certain respects the Savior's example is one that we are to learn from. But it's the Lord Jesus' words that work powerfully in lives. It's the Lord Jesus' words that are used to produce faith and to give life. Jesus provides for us the words of interpretation, the words of life that we need to hear. In fact, Jesus himself is the Word made flesh. Our God is a God who is a talkative God. He has got things to say, and we, when we recognize that God is a Trinity, we realize that God's speech, God's communication didn't begin when he said, "Let there be light." When we read the scriptures, we come to realize that within the persons of the Godhead, there is communication, there is interaction. And then as the created universe is called into being, God speaks. He speaks to call creation into being. He speaks to men and women. He spoke to the Israelites. And then, wonder of wonders, he clothes himself in flesh. He comes to speak words of life, words that we desperately need to hear. You remember Philip Bliss, that hymn that sometimes we sing, "Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to his loving call, wonderful words of life, all so freely given, wooing us to heaven." The Lord Jesus speaks words of life. Those are important words. And of course, the applications of that truth are obvious and easy for us to grasp. We need to acquaint ourselves with the Word of God and the words of the Lord Jesus that have been safeguarded for us, that have been preserved for us by the Holy Spirit, written down so that we can have them in our own language, so that we can have them easily and inexpensively, readily available to us, so that we may acquaint ourselves with them. In Proverbs chapter 4, we have the wise father addressing his son. And in verses 20 and 22 of Proverbs 4, the wise father says, "My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them." Jesus' words fulfill what's foreshadowed in Proverbs chapter 4. Jesus' words are life-giving words. Jesus' words are life-shaping words, and it's important for us to make it our business to acquaint ourselves, to take possession of of God's Word. And then as we listen to the Lord Jesus, we hear Jesus say to his disciples, the Holy Spirit, the Helper whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. Here is this group of disciples. Jesus assures them that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom he is giving, is going to call to their remembrance the words that Jesus has spoken. Jesus' words are good seed, but it's important for us to remember that sometimes Jesus' words don't germinate immediately. There's not an immediate result evident from the Lord Jesus' word. You go out to the marketplace and you buy some seed, and the person who's selling it to you, perhaps you quibble at the price, and you say, "Well, this is good seed. This is the very best of seed." And you take the seed, you go home, and you go out there and you scatter it around. And later in the day you go back, and it really doesn't seem like anything is different. And the next day you come out and you have a look around, and really everything still seems much as it was when you left it. And perhaps after a couple of days you're beginning to wonder what's going on. But then, with the passage of time, the shoots begin to appear. The seed germinates. Jesus' word doesn't always produce an immediate response. Sometimes the word seems not to take, but the Holy Spirit uses that word. That's important for us to keep in mind. Sometimes when we teach, sometimes when we speak to people, it seems that the word doesn't get through. But we shouldn't lose heart. We remember that God, the Holy Spirit, causes God's word to come to people's minds. It causes people to remember what they've heard. You see, that's why, and I don't want to steal anyone's, I don't want to preempt anyone as they speak to you on June 11 about what has gone on out at Gaithersburg, where good seed was sown, and where perhaps we say, well, where's the harvest? You see, we trust God that as the good seed is sown, we don't lose confidence in the good seed if we don't see an immediate harvest. We have confidence that seed, God's word going out, accomplishes the purpose for which God has sent it. Or you might think of the ones that you're teaching, perhaps in Sunday school, maybe a parent teaching and wondering, why are they not getting it? Be patient. Be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that have been taught. That's our prayer, even for those dear covenant children who've grown up and gone out from this place without having confessed the Lord Jesus. They've been given good instruction. We pray that the Holy Spirit will remind them of the things that they've been taught. We have confidence in the power and the work of our God. So there's the speech. There's the word. Let's think about the teacher for a moment. Jesus says in verse 26 that the Father will send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, that's an interesting turn of expression. We find the same expression used in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 8, where Jesus talks about false teachers, false prophets. And Jesus says, those false teachers, those false prophets will come in my name. They'll come purporting to be Jesus' representatives. They'll come purporting to be doing Jesus' work, and they're false. So Jesus cautions his disciples to be on guard, to be on the alert. But over and against those ones who come falsely in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit comes, as it were, as Jesus' representative, Jesus' ambassador. He comes to continue the work of the Lord Jesus. He's not doing something that's different. He's coming to continue the work that the Lord Jesus is doing. And of course, when Jesus talks about the Father sending the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, we get that sending language, don't we? And we begin to discern some of the personal characteristics of the members of the Godhead, don't we? If you've been thinking about it, you might realize that God the Father sends the Son. He sent the Son into the world. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit. The Son is sent by the Father. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and by the Son. But the Holy Spirit, in terms of his Trinitarian personality, does not send either the Father or the Son. You see, there is distinction, but not separation. The persons of the Godhead working together as distinct persons, but yet working together, not separated. And Augustine says, with reference to the verse we have before us, the Son speaks, the Holy Spirit teaches. When the Son speaks, we hear the words. When the Holy Spirit teaches, we understand the words. It's the Holy Spirit who gives understanding of the Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus. And again, we can pause and think about how to apply that. We're not able to convert. We don't persuade people to become Christians. We don't work saving faith in people. We sow the seed and we trust God. We pray for God to bring about the harvest. And you'll remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So we shouldn't assume that we are something, that we're able to go out and convert people. No, we pray that God will do that. It's the Holy Spirit who uses the Word of God in the lives of individuals to bring about saving faith. And then, of course, we pray for God's Word to be effective. As we sow that good seed, as we make the truth known, we pray that God will bring about the increase. And again, as with the sacraments, remember that the benefits and the blessings of the sacraments are not tied to the time the sacrament is administered. The benefits of the sacraments are not connected to that time of administration. The benefits of the sacraments are felt at other times in our lives as well. So also it is with the Word of God. We hear the Word of God, and sometimes the benefits of the Word of God don't become apparent. We don't realize them. We don't feel them until later on, when suddenly, all out of the blue, a verse that we've read pops into our minds and we realize how that applies to the situation that we're in right now, or where a scriptural truth that we've learned suddenly comes to our remembrance and we're convicted of our need to put things right with God. And so we pray that God will use His Word, that the Holy Spirit will instruct and bring to remembrance the Word of God as it goes forth. And then lastly, we want to consider the disciple or the student. And in these verses, of course, we remember Jesus is addressing primarily, first and foremost, the 11 disciples. Judas has already gone out, so 11 disciples. They are the ones who are going to be taught by the Holy Spirit and who are going to be reminded of Jesus' words. And that's a good thing. Because when we read the Gospels and when we meet the disciples, they are slow to understand. And Jesus has to rebuke them for their ignorance and for their seemingly stubborn resistance to the truth. And Jesus doesn't throw up his hands in despair. No, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit whom I'm sending, he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring to your remembrance the things that you've learned. John gives us an example of that early in his gospel when Jesus goes up and cleanses the temple and then speaks of how I destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up again. And in John chapter 2, verse 22, John records for us that when Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this and they understood what he meant. You see, the Holy Spirit, as it were, finishes out what Jesus did with the disciples by giving them understanding of the things that they had witnessed. And that's important for us because they're going to be the human authors of Scripture. Peter talks in 1 Peter 1:21 of how holy men, carried along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. So we're thankful that Jesus speaks to these individuals, some of whom are going to write down for us the Scriptures that you and I have this evening. Jesus assures them that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into an understanding of the things that he has said to them. And again, we might learn a couple of practical lessons from that. The Holy Spirit doesn't come with something that's new and different from what Jesus has been teaching. Instead, the Holy Spirit is intent on accomplishing Jesus' teaching ministry in the lives of the disciples. And then, of course, a second thing for us to learn and to be encouraged by is that the Holy Spirit, who primarily, first and foremost, helped the disciples, he is our helper as well. He uses God's word in our lives. He allows us to understand the Word of God so that as we make it our business to read God's Word and study God's Word, we trust that the Holy Spirit is going to enable us to understand that. Maybe not at the time that we read it, maybe not at the time we hear it preached. But the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance and the Holy Spirit gives understanding. You might... Well, the pack rat, and I don't mean the animal, I mean the person. The pack rat says, I'm going to hold on to this because the day will come when I need it. Sometime it's going to become useful. I don't see much use for it right now, but sometime it's going to be useful to me. So I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to pack it away. I'm going to see that it's secured. That's what we do with God's Word. We listen to it, we look at the bulletin, and we look at the sermon text and title, and we say, oh boy, I don't know that this is something that's relevant to me just now. But you see, it's God's Word, and we listen to it, and even though the relevance of it might not be apparent just now, God, the Holy Spirit, uses it. It's something that we need to hear. And as you think about my study week and me planning out a series of sermons. Maybe when I come back and you say, well, Pastor, what are you going to be preaching on? I say, well, we're going to be preaching from this book. And you think, oh boy, I'm not sure that I really want to hear from this book. Or we're going to be looking at this theme. And you think, well, wow, I'm not sure that's relevant to me just now. Our confidence is that even though the relevance of it might not be apparent just now, we've got that pack rat attitude. We store it away because we never know when it's going to be useful. We never know when it's going to be relevant because we have confidence that the Holy Spirit equips us by his word so that when the time comes, when the situation of trial, the difficult circumstances come, we are reminded of that truth that we need to know. That's a marvelous thing. There was a time in a former era where if you had enough money, or if your parents had enough money, they would hire someone who would come and live in, the mansion. That person would be a teacher. They would live there. They would certainly teach you your grammar, your Latin, or whatever it was needed to be taught. And they would teach you a lot of other things as well. They'd teach you etiquette. They would teach you deportment and all the rest of it. And the more affluent your parents were, the better teacher they could afford to hire, and the better educated you would be. Well, the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus assures you that the Holy Spirit is your live-in teacher so that you will be well-educated followers of the Lord Jesus, richly stocked with Jesus' word, but with the
Holy Spirit given ability to make good use of that word and to live as the people of God in this world. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks now for your word. We do pray for that ministry of your Holy Spirit who causes us to remember, to understand the things that have been spoken to us. So we pray that your word would accomplish its purpose in our lives this evening and in days to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final praise tonight is in the words of hymn number 644. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. Will you rise to give praise?